news time.
Thanks for reading. Okay, my name's Pete, if I haven't met you. I look after kids ministry here. So, yeah, thank you. So, I'm keen to get some of you next year and the year after and the year after that to help out with kids ministry. But tonight, I want to talk about the Exodus in this passage. Now, I've got some photos, someone's doing some slides for me, and I want to show you one of my favorite cities in the world. This is New York. I love New York. There's a photo of here, my wife and I. We went there just before 2019. It's a beautiful city. It's actually massive. There's about 20 million people living in the New York metropolitan area, and it's about 8 million on Manhattan Island itself. It's massive. So New York's similar size to the whole of Australia population-wise. An enormous city. Let's go to the next slide. Now, that event that we call 9/11 changed the face of New York completely. It destroyed thousands of lives, and the world talked about it for years and years and years. Just a couple of years ago was the 20th anniversary, and there was documentaries and all sorts of things. If you speak to your parents, they'll tell you exactly where they were. They'll know. In fact, just that phrase 9/11 is defined by that event. When you say 9/11, that's what it means. We all know that that's what that means. Well, tonight we're going to have a look at another defining moment and a devastating moment. Another disaster. It's actually a much, much bigger disaster than 9/11. It's a really dark day. It's a tragic day. But it's a day that defined a whole people. We had read to us, beautifully read, that passage from the Exodus 12, and it describes the Passover and that event known as the Exodus. Now, I've got to say tonight, it's actually going to be a bit of hard work. You're going to have to work and concentrate to see the links and to listen and understand. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is on the screen is this is the first day of their new life. It's like the birthday of a nation. The nation of Israel is born again that day. Right there in verse 2, this month is to be for you the first month in the first month of your year. God is saying to Israel, his people, he's saying, reset your calendars. This is the new time, new event. This is what's going to define you. Now, let me just stop for a moment. What do you think you would say if someone asked you, what is it that defines you as a person? What are you defined by? What makes you, you? But we're going to come back to that in a little while, but let's have a look at what made Israel, Israel first. And straight away we get into this whole business of getting the lamb and killing it and putting the blood around the door frames of the house. Now the idea here is that the lamb is being sacrificed, and this is really central to this whole part of the Bible. It's a substitution. The lamb dies so the people don't have to die. And where are we up to in Exodus? Well, we're up to the 10th plague, really. So far, we've had 9 plagues. It's been like a boxing match. It's been God and Pharaoh. And Pharaoh thought he was up for it. He started calling God out and saying, who do you think you are, God? I don't even know you. And God answers him back and he shows him who he is with 9 forceful punches. And this 10th one is the knockout. This is the one that ends up changing everything for Egypt and everything for God's people. See, after constantly ignoring God, judgment comes really hard on Egypt. And the firstborn in every single family dies. Every family. Now, I'm not talking little children here. This is not children dying. The firstborn in my family is a 20-year-old girl, Chloe. Some of you know her. And imagine tonight if you went to bed and in the morning, the firstborn in every household in Sydney died. In the morning, there'd be wailing. There'd be parents crying. It would be tragic. It's way worse than any disaster you would have seen on TV. Way worse than anything you've ever seen. But then you notice there's a group of people who have been protected. A group of people where there's no noise because everyone's alive. They've been protected, they've been saved, they've been rescued. Well, that's what happened in Egypt. As God's people, they put the blood of the lamb around the doorframe of their house so it would be a sign that they would be protected. Have a look at Exodus 12, 13. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you and no destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. The lamb was a substitute for their children. And God passes over the Israelites. And through this lamb, Israel go from death, because there was no life for them there, to having life. God's people have life. But not only do they get life, they get their freedom as well. They go from being slaves to being free. Now, God's people have been in Israel for around 400 years at this time, and I'm not sure exactly how long they've been slaves for, but they've been slaves a long time. Now, Australia was settled by Europeans. How long ago? 230 years ago. Imagine for a moment that your whole family was still slaves or convicts. That your parents were convicts and their parents were convicts, going back and back and back, and you never knew freedom. This is what it was like for God's people in Egypt. They were all slaves, all of them. They had no freedom. They couldn't do what they wanted. They didn't get real money or real wages. They couldn't go where they wanted. They were all slaves. And they go from being slaves to all of a sudden being free. Freedom. Something they'd never known before. Have a look with me then at one more amazing part. They go from death to life. They go from being slaves to being free. And then, we're going to have a look at Exodus 12. Let's go to this one here. All the Israelites did just what the Lord had commanded, and on that very day, the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions. They all got out, all of them. And there's one more thing. Now, this thing is often missed, I think, when we look at what actually happened to God's people. So there they were. They went from death to life. They went from being slaves to being free people. And thirdly, something else absolutely incredible happened. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. We got that one? There we go. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and of clothing. And the Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and they gave the Egyptians what they asked for, and they plundered the Egyptians. So not only did they go from death to life and being slaves to free, all of a sudden they go from being paupers to having everything they need. So imagine this in your home. There is that group of people who are saved by God, and everyone else is suffering and crying. And then you open your door to them, and they walk in, and they take your flat screen TV, and they take your Apple iPad, and they take your MacBook Air, and they take your mum's jewelry, and they take your cash. They take everything they want, and they walk out. These guys were slaves. They had nothing, and now they have everything they want and everything they need. They were dirt poor, and now they're filthy rich. See, this is Israel's defining moment. It changes the whole thing for them. The blood of the lamb changes everything for God's people. And God says to them, you need to remember the Exodus. You need to talk about it. You need to tell your kids for generations to come. Actually, the Exodus is probably the most important event in the whole Old Testament. This event here. God creates, man sins, and we see that God saves. This is it. And Jewish people still today talk about it. They celebrate it. They tell it to their kids. And in fact, Jesus used to do it too. He'd talk about it with his friends. In fact, one night he was having dinner with his friends in an upper room, and he was celebrating the Passover with them. And he said something very unusual. He said something that sort of changed the way we look at it. He said, instead of thinking about Israel, I want you next time you celebrate the Passover to think about me, because in fact, it's all about me. The Passover is actually all about me. Have a look in Luke 22. We've got it on the screen, I think. Luke 22. This is what he actually says. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I eagerly desire to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." And after taking the cup, he gave thanks, and he said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, do this, given for you, do this in remembrance of..." Not the Passover. "Don't think of the Passover anymore," Jesus says. He arrogantly says, "Remember me." But it's not arrogant, is it? Because it's actually true. It is all about him. That was God's plan all along. In fact, the Passover was a picture of what would happen in Jesus. It was a plan of what would happen. I don't know if you guys have walked down Cowan Road here. There's three buildings are about to get knocked down. This is Cowan Road, and they've just put this up today, painted it green. Behind here, there's a massive development going on. There's going to be 200 apartments, massive. Oh, we've got sideways, I don't know how it happened. So, but the thing is, I went and had a look, and you can see the plan, the architectural plan. Here it is. That's on the council website. So I know what's going to happen, and I can see all the buildings, and I can flick through it, and I can see how awesome this is going to be. It's going to have tennis courts and swimming pools. It's going to overlook the golf course. It's going to be great, and maybe I might try to buy one of these and come and live here because it looks so super. But in a year's time, the thing will be built. The reality will be there. The plan will be gone, and the real thing will have appeared. And the real thing's much better, isn't it? You can't live in a picture, but you can live in a house. And this is what it's like with the Old Testament, the Passover. It points toward Jesus. It's a picture of what was going to happen in Jesus. Jesus says, "The Passover's the model, and I am the real thing." Because in the Passover, the fulfillment comes in the cross, where we see Jesus, the Lamb of God, die in our place. John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world." 1 Corinthians 5 describes Jesus as our Passover Lamb. Revelation 5 says, "He's the Lamb who was slain to receive glory and honor and praise." See, the blood of the Lamb changes everything. Now let me show you how it changes everything for you and me today. But three final little points. Let's go to the next slide. See, the blood of the Lamb changes everything because we go from death to life. You and I were dead in our sin. We were dead. We had no life. Might have felt like we had life, but we were dead. No hope, no future. Colossians 2:13 says, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave your sins." This is good news for you and me. And the second thing is, like the Egyptians, we've gone from being slaves to being free. Galatians 5 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." You know, you don't have to be caught up in your sin. I know for some of you, there are things you don't want to do that you keep on doing. And it's hard. We want to change. But we're no longer slaves to our sin. We're being set free. Free for this new life. And then the third thing, just like the Israelites, we go from being poor to being rich. Let's have a look at Ephesians 1, verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing." You have everything you need to live a really great life as a Christian. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. You've got God's Word. You know, go home tonight, pick up your Bible, blow off the dust. It's probably got a bit of dust on it, unless you've brought it here tonight and it's nice and clean. And read it. It's a blessing. It's rich. The Holy Spirit living in you fills you richly so you can live and learn and love other people and be changed by Him. See, just like Israel was changed by the blood of the Lamb, we are changed by Jesus' blood. He is the Lamb. He changes us from death to life, from slavery to freedom, from poor to rich. That's where we are right now. We're defined by the cross. Now, I said at the beginning, what do you think it is that defines you? Maybe you think you're good at sport, or you're really intelligent, or you're funny, or you've got a nice family. But really, as Christians, we're defined by one thing. Jesus has died in our place, the Passover Lamb. See, he's the one through whom everything changes, so we can be what God intended for us to be. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the amazing story of the Exodus. We thank you that it points directly to Jesus and what he has done, the Lamb who's died in our place, so we can be your children forever. Amen.